We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
My dear friend Ron is on vacation. We join forces again next week. In the meantime, Mr. Jonathan Bomboli of The Trib, longtime hockey writer, jack of all trades, joins me, as he often does. So Mike DeFabo spoke with Brian Burke, Jonathan, and this is what Burke said, and I quote, "We're really happy with our goaltending. Do we want to have a solution with a more experienced guy if we hit a rut? The answer is maybe." And then he added a caveat, "depending on the cost." So what are we to make of this? Is he happy with their goaltending or isn't he? Does this indicate that the Penguins are going to open with Jari and DeSmith and then just wait and see if they need to pick somebody up? And if that's the case, here's my problem. We're not going to know, even if Jari is having a good season next season, whether or not he's going to crumble in the playoffs again. So seeing him have a half of a good season, to me, it means nothing. What do you read into this?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, he did have half of a good season last year. But on balance, his season was not good. See, that's the you've hit on something there in the sense that if it was just, look, if Tristan Jarry made one, if he had a great year and then he made one just horrific puck handling mistake and then it rattled him for the following game, if he was coming off a great year and then he did that, then you'd say, okay, then, you know, no need to overreact here. Everybody has a bad game or two, especially a young goaltender. But here's the reality is Jari wasn't good last year. Like, he wasn't. I mean, he had stretches where he was good, but when you put it, when you balance it all out, he had a bad year. Like, eye test, what did he look like to you last year? Did you think, I thought he looked wildly inconsistent. That was my eye test on Tristan Jarry last year. That some nights he looked good and some nights you couldn't win with the performance that he gave you. So, and then when you use the, when you look at the advanced metrics that we use now to measure goaltending play, Jari's terrible. Like, he's, you know, bottom quarter of the starting goaltenders in the league. Like, not Carter Hart, Matt Murray terrible, but still bad. So, like, it's not like it was just a blip. It was a trend. It was a whole year trend of him being inconsistent to bad. So, you know, the part of Burke's argument, that argument isn't the right word, of his stance that I do agree with, is that, boy, goaltenders went for a lot on that in free agency. Like, I mean, you know, the price tag for a guy like Peter Mrazek or Linus Ullmark. Linus Ullmark got $5 million a year. Is he better than Tristan Jarry? I'm not entirely sure. Jonathan Bernier hasn't, you know, I mean, he hasn't been a factor in a couple of years. He got, I don't know, close to $4 million, something like that. So that's a big difference between the Hextall-Burke era and the Rutherford era. Because if Rutherford wanted something in free agency, he'd go get it, and he'd say, look, it costs too much. Yeah, absolutely, but that's what you have to pay. That's what he did with Brandon Tanev. He wanted him, he got him, he gave him a six-year contract. So there's a lot there, and if the idea is to be patient and pick up a goaltender when the cost is lower, I'm on board with that. If the idea is to say, and you know what, maybe Jari's going to be okay, I don't think I am on board with that. At the very least, you're going to need to have a really good plan B.
Jonathan Bomboli on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. Burke did have a good quote. He said, them not having much to spend means they had to shop at Kmart instead of Nordstrom. And if you have cap room, you can take major steps. We're really happy with the guys we brought. You can still get some bloody good deals at Kmart. We think we did. I appreciate that quote. Here's one where he's just flat out inaccurate, Jonathan. He's talking about Jari last year, and he says, remember, Jari got us a division title last year. He was spectacular. He faltered a bit in the playoffs. I guess Bill Buckner faltered a bit in Game 6 in 86. Now here's the inaccurate part. Go back and look at Marc-Andre Fleury's first two playoffs. Marc-Andre Fleury was mediocre at best in his first couple playoffs. That's what happens with young goaltenders. Wrong. In his first playoff, first of all, in his first playoff, the Penguins got blitzkrieged by the Ottawa Senators, and I thought Fleury was pretty damn good, but you want to say his numbers were bad? Okay. His second playoff, he had a .933 postseason save percentage and almost beat the Red Wings by himself. What's he talking about?
Yeah, people forget about – I think people forget that because they won in 09 and they didn't win in 08, Fleury was better in 08. And he was incredible. He was good in 09, but he was great in 08. So, yeah, Fleury is the weird case of he had a couple bad playoffs in the middle of his career.
Yes.
He was like, yeah, he was a great playoff goalie and then a terrible playoff goalie and then a great playoff goalie again. Which I don't know if you can find that career arc anywhere else. Fleury might be a unicorn.
Do you like hard-boiled eggs, Jonathan?
I do not.
I've really started.
The texture's gross and blah.
In fact, I went so far as to believe one of these infomercials with a special hard-boiled egg maker, and it turned out to be a disaster. It was this little plastic device, and it did a worse job than simply dropping the egg in boiling water. But what I've taken to doing is buying the pre-packaged hard-boiled eggs. Do we do any work anymore in the kitchen? I buy pre-sliced cheese, pre-boiled eggs. There's nothing left to do. Everything's ready to eat. I kind of like that.
You're right. You know what I buy every week is shredded lettuce.
Yes. Like a
bag of shredded lettuce, which is probably like $3. You can get a head of lettuce for like 79 cents. But I'm like, I can't take – that's too much work, shredding lettuce to put in a – you know, in a burrito or something like that. I can't do that. I need to get the bag that's three times as more expensive. Can I raise, if you don't mind, an Olympic point, a grievance that I have about the Olympics?
Absolutely.
The medal count. I take it very seriously, and I want us to win. Now, there's no way these team sports should only count as one gold medal. Like, if you're keeping track of it, say we win women's basketball. That's going to be the same as, and we're competing against China, and some Chinese dude wins the race walking event. Those count the same on the medal chart, but there's no way those two are the same in prestige and importance. There needs to be a weighted scale based on the number of people involved, and I don't know, maybe how many people are watching on television. Like, I'm not going to stand for this finishing second in the medal table just because China wins all these medals in, like, ping pong and stuff. I'm outraged.
Well, so am I, actually, by that, and it's a great point, but have you seen race walking? It's incredible. You want to yell into the TV and grab the guy and say, just run! Run! Stop being on the verge of running like that. It's amazing to me, and I think they're all cheating, Jonathan. There's no such thing as race walking. He really is running.
Well, it's sort of like a dance, right, in the sense that you have to follow the prescribed footwork.
Right,
like that. That's the, and if you don't, you get penalized. So it's almost like a hypnotic. It is hypnotic.
It's ridiculous. You know, it's ridiculous. Some of these sports are utterly contrived for the Olympics and ridiculous. It doesn't even exist in the real world. Have you ever told your wife I'm going out for a race walk? I'm going to go out and race walk for a while. I'll be home at noon. Nobody even does this. Nobody's ever done it. It's just a contrived Olympic sport. It's like this team handball, which I actually enjoy. Although the team, I think Norway yesterday, all they did was pass the ball around. They looked like the Penguins' power play. They passed the ball around on the perimeter, and nobody ever threw it at the net.
And so the best part about the Olympics is that every 4 years, Joe Starkey becomes a team handball expert.
Exactly. If they're going to play that, which also, well, maybe it does exist. Maybe I'm ignorant on the proliferation of team handball across the world. These are completely contrived. Come on, badminton. It's the only sport I ever saw my mom play was badminton. It's ridiculous. Well, they might as well. Is it any more 3-on-3 basketball? Is an Olympic sport, Jonathan? Right now they're playing it. They might as well have shuffleboard. It wouldn't be any more ridiculous. They might as well have what's the game where you throw the little thing into the thing? They play it at football games. The little sandbags. What's that called?
Cornhole.
Cornhole. Why not that?
Sure, absolutely. But you know how we were talking yesterday when we were talking about music, about how some entertainment is just made for people who are high?
Yes.
I think that's true of some Olympic sports, too. Race walking is a perfect example.
You're right about that.
Yeah, another example is synchronized diving. I would think, I was watching synchronized diving thinking, boy, I could use a blunt right now to watch this synchronized diving because – like visually, it's insane because they do a camera shot from the side, and the diver who's further away, if they're in perfect synchronization, disappears because they're so perfectly synchronized. You can't see the far guy at all, I was thinking to myself, like, if I was high right now, this would be the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life.
I felt like cartoons are designed that way too, specifically for high people. Certain ones, like SpongeBob. Do you agree with that?
That's a good call, and I think there must be it's a way to, there's a market. There's a certain percentage, there's probably a certain percentage of your audience right now, Joe, that's high.
What do you think percentage-wise Olympic TV audience is high across the planet? I say 60. You?
On something. Well, because the prime time, like 8 to 11 broadcast, like that's slickly polished television that's designed to be consumed probably by your mom. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But like any others, you know, for instance, I was up till, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the morning watching wrestling last night, just because I'm a big wrestling fan. I was not high, but I would imagine that it gotta be like 90% of the people watching wrestling at 3 o'clock in the morning are like just stoned out of their minds. Gotta be. I think you're on to something. They should definitely advertise like Doritos and Domino's during Olympic events.
Well, absolutely. Yes. And a way to get them immediately delivered. Did you watch Equestrian? Bruce Springsteen's daughter eliminated. Could we say that she was not born to ride, Jonathan? Could we say her glory days are yet to come, or should we avoid that?
I'm not sure. I'm not going to. All you're going to get out of me is a groan for these puns, Joe. Not the boss. Something like that?
Yeah, she's not the boss. Trampoline? No. Come on. Trampoline is an Olympic sport? Have you seen the lunacy of watching somebody? It's actually comical. Jumping like 30 feet into the air. And I don't know what are they doing? How are they scoring this? Do you know?
I don't know, but I assume it's a lot like figure skating and gymnastics, right? Where you're scored for your technical merit and artistic impression. You know, if the only thing you're scoring is technical merit and artistic impression, I mean, that opens the door to all sorts of sports that you could put in the Olympics, you know? Because my thought was you could put professional wrestling in the Olympics and judge the performers for their technical merit and artistic impression.
Absolutely, you could. They probably should. And I think we talked about this before, but the fact that nobody – who's on one of these Olympic committees. I don't know who decides and how a sport qualifies, but the fact that dodgeball never made it is amazing to me because the second that you put dodgeball on TV in the Olympics, it would be the highest rated Olympic event in history. Do you agree with that?
Well, and I told you before, in theory, yes, but they do put dodgeball on television, and then you watch it, and you're like, boy, this is going to be great. And then 5 minutes later, you're like, yeah, there's just people.
Well, because they put too many rules on it. It should be open dodgeball where you can fire it at people's skulls and things like that. I mean, the best feeling in dodgeball, I hate to say it, was to have somebody trapped right over the line and more or less begging for their life as I held the ball in my hand. Do you remember that feeling?
I do. And you're right. You should feel bad for enjoying that feeling, but yes, it is that I mean, it really is a gym class activity that brings out the worst in people if you really think about it.
What is sport climbing? I'm looking at the list of Olympics. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. You climb the side of a rock, and how do they judge that? Who gets up the fastest? What?
That Yeah, I know one of the disciplines, I just read something about this. One of the disciplines is speed. But here's the intriguing part about sport climbing. It's a wall, you know, like it's not a real rock that you're climbing. It's a synthetic wall that is meant to approximate a rock. But, you know, it has like the different like handholds and stuff. Well, it's a secret what the wall looks like until you compete. So the other competitor, while the first guy goes, all the other competitors are sequestered so that they can't see what the wall looks like and what the pattern is and everything like that. And so the moment that the climber comes out, he has to figure out, or she has to figure out, what the best route is and what's going to take you there the fastest.
I mean, this is ridiculous, Jonathan.
Well, it's ridiculous, but that's interesting, isn't it?
It's interesting, but so is a good TV show or movie, which I guess in the end, that's what it is. It's a TV show. Did I ever tell you about my naked water polo days?
No. This sounds like a topic for Starkfest After Dark.
At the Boom Boom Room later on the South Side, yes. Maybe I won't get into it now. I mean, people listen to the show know that in junior high school, not only in Buffalo, but in the late 70s, early 80s, there was naked swimming. At Amherst Junior High School in Buffalo, and one of the events, I guess you could say, was water polo, also water basketball. And then if you didn't want to participate, you just sort of hung out in the deep end. But I was the goalie, and I couldn't swim, so I would hold on to the side of the pool in naked water polo, and then every once in a while jump off the side and make these flying acrobatic saves, and then I would almost drown. I'd throw the ball to a teammate and go back and hold on to the side of the pool.
These stories sound like 100 years ago. Like, for, imagine being like an 18-year-old in your audience right now, hearing people talk about how in gym class you had to swim naked.
I know. Nobody believes it. And I told this story a couple weeks ago. My wife and daughter still don't believe it. So I called up my friend Dave Miller, who's a orthopedic surgeon in Buffalo. I called him up at 10 at night, figuring he was probably already in bed. And I said, Dave, I just need confirmation, because sometimes I feel like this was a horrifying dream. We did swim naked in junior high school, did we not? He said, yes, we did. And then my wife said, why? And Dave Miller said it wasn't the teacher who ordered this. It was the school. And the reasoning was they didn't want the wet bathing suits on the metal lockers causing, you know, bacteria, things like that, whatever mildew, whatever that would cause. That was the actual rationale for naked swimming.
This sounds like something out of like ancient Greece.
I know, like a Roman bathhouse or something. It was, it was insane. But I was a hell of a goalie. I was.
Well, you came up with your own sort of system there, sounds like.
I think it would be illegal in actual water polo. I think kind of the idea is to tread water, correct?
I would think so. Those horses are excellent swimmers, though.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah, you bet, Joe.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.